Welcome to Joyful Eating. I'm your host, Jules Clancy, a former food scientist and winemaker turned cookbook author and health coach. I've discovered a simple way to have a joyful relationship with food without sacrificing pleasure or my waistline, and I can help you get there too. Listen on to find out how. Hello, hello. It's Jules here and welcome to episode 8 of Joyful Eating, which is my lucky number. So I'm very excited about this episode. And today we're going to be talking about a really important topic called self-talk. So I've titled it The Power of Self-Talk. So basically today, just thought I'd share with you the story of how I discovered self-talk and why it's so important. Then we'll talk about, you know, what is self-talk, talk about how it works, and then I'll share some specific examples with you of how you can apply this concept to your life. And of course, we'll finish off with a key takeaway so you'll know exactly what you need to remember from this week's lesson. So the backstory to self-talk. So I actually did my health coaching certificate back in early 2019, and I'd been coaching people and getting mostly good results, you know, helping them build habits like eating proper meals instead of grazing, changing the way they eat so that it was like kind of mostly low carb, kind of protein forward and planning ahead. But not everyone was having lasting change. So, I had one client in particular who'd, you know, make some progress, things were going well, and then she'd backslide. And we kind of couldn't ever, you know, I wasn't ever sure why that would happen. Also, like, you know, at this time, you know, I'd gotten my weight to a really great place by doing all of the things that I was working with my coaching clients on, like working on my own habits and also, playing around with intermittent fasting. But still, I had some residual things that I wasn't 100% happy about. Like, I'd overeat on the weekends, and then Monday my weight would be up, and then, you know, during the week it would get back to normal, and then next weekend same pattern. And then I also used to have this awful habit of picking when I was cooking, so I'd just be like and cleaning up, just like snacking the whole time. And, you know, then you sit down to a meal and you're not hungry at all. And also I was doing a lot of work around my alcohol, and I share that story in, I think it was episode 4. So if you're interested in that, you can definitely check that out. But I was planning my alcohol, but I wasn't always sticking to my plan. And I also had the worst habit I had was that I would eat things and spit them out, which is kind of like, yeah, anyway, gross. But anyway, so I had these things that I wasn't happy about. So like, you know, my weight was fine, but it was hard for me to manage. And, you know, I didn't feel like, you know, my relationship with food was really calm and peaceful and joyful. It was, you know, it was a bit fraught. Anyway, so I was working with a business coach at the time, and she was really mindset focused. So her whole thing was all around, you know, how we think and applying that to business. And like, I was getting good results with the business coaching, and it just occurred to me one day, hey, like this mindset stuff, what would happen if I started applying these principles to my eating? And it was like magic, like, hey presto, like everything fell into place. And I just was able to work through those last, you know, residual issues that I had and just got to this place where it was really, yeah, at peace. Like, it was amazing. So my big discovery was that to change anything in your life, really, like, this is so true. Like, all you have to do is just uncover and change the self-talk that you have about that thing, and then you'll be able to, you know, make amazing, amazing changes. So this self-talk is really, really important. It's one of the most useful things. And it's why now I have 100% confidence that I can coach anyone to help them get to a place where they have a healthy relationship with food, because I understand this so deeply of how important our thoughts and our self-talk is. And if I was still working with that client that was backsliding, I know I'd be able to get her to a place where she wasn't doing that, where she was in a really good space. So what is self-talk? So basically, it's just, you know, the moment-to-moment thoughts that we have all day long. So all that chatter that goes on in our heads. I think I've heard that, you know, we have 60,000 thoughts a day, and sometimes I think it feels like there's more of them. And those thoughts, they might seem inconsequential, but they're really, really powerful. And how it works is, I actually think of this in terms of, I've got an acronym called T for it. So we have thoughts, this chatter, and those thoughts drive our emotions. So these thoughts that we're having change how we're feeling, that like they actually spark our emotions. And then our emotions drive the action that we take. So it goes on this progression of like thoughts, feeling, action, or thoughts, emotion, action, which I think of it as T. And there's two types of thoughts that are involved in this. So there's like the conscious, like self-talk chatter, mind chatter that we're talking about today. And then there are also like subconscious beliefs that we have about who we are and those sorts of things. So we won't go into the subconscious stuff today, but we'll just talk today about this conscious self-talk and focus on that for the moment. The thing is that conscious self-talk is very powerful in being able to change. So we don't even need to look at the subconscious yet. So basically, you know, I wanted just to get this idea through to you that everything comes back to our thoughts. So we have thoughts, they make us feel different emotions, and that how we feel drives our actions. So if we want to change any behavior, you just need to identify the thoughts and the feelings that are driving the behavior, and then choose new thoughts to think on purpose, which will make you feel in a different way, and then you'll take different action. And one thing that people often kind of struggle with this when it's a new concept is that our society leads us to believe that we think it's our circumstances that cause the feelings, but there's actually a thought in between our circumstances and the feelings. So we have circumstances and then we think something about the circumstance and then that determines how we feel. So it's not actually the circumstance, it's our thoughts about the circumstance that change how we feel. And which is actually really good news because it means that we have the power to change our thoughts and we can think different thoughts about the same circumstance and end up feeling a different way. So it's actually really, you know, one when I discovered this and through my business coach, like it was like, wow, this is really powerful stuff. So I thought I'd share some examples now of how this works. So a circumstance could be that, say, you work 12 hours on Monday, and then you could be come home and you could be thinking about your day and you could be thinking, you know, I'm so tired, I've had a bad day, I don't feel like cooking, and then, you know, what's going to happen? So the action that you're going to be feeling, blah, and then the action that you're going to take is maybe you'll dial a pizza or maybe you'll just snack on crackers or something, you know, because you've had this bad day and you don't feel like cooking. Versus you could have worked the same 12-hour day, but you could come home and you could choose to think, you know, cooking gives me a chance to relax. You know, I love nurturing myself. It's better when I make a proper meal. And that's going to make you feel in it very different, isn't it? It's going to make you feel motivated to get into the kitchen and cook something for yourself. So your action that you take, even though you've, like in those two examples, you've had the same bad day, the same long 12-hour day. But if you focus and think about how bad your day was and how much you don't want to cook, then of course you're not going to cook unless you're really good at doing things when you don't feel like it, which most of us aren't. Whereas if you have your bad day, but then you choose to think thoughts about it, you know, like don't dwell on the fact that you've had a bad day. Just think about how good it'll feel when you cook and how much you love nurturing yourself. Like you're going to want to cook and it's going to have a very different result. And if you think about, if you do that over time, what a difference that's going to make to your health. So another example, your circumstance could be, this was my circumstance from last night's dinner. So circumstance was lamb shanks with figs, which I'd actually very excited. There were figs from my own fig tree so that I planted when we first moved here 6-7 years ago. So I had my first crop of figs this year, which is very exciting. Anyway, so the circumstance was lamb shanks with figs for dinner. And so I could have chosen a few different thoughts. So I could be thinking, you know, this is so good. I want more. I don't want to stop. Or, you know, I've had enough, I'm ready to stop, and those leftovers will be amazing for lunch. So there's two thought processes that I could have gone down. And if I followed the first one, which was, this is so good, I want more, of course, I'm just going to keep eating and I'm going to feel hungry and like I'm going to feel desire to eat more. Whereas if I change my thoughts and I think, you know, I've had enough, I'm ready to stop and start thinking about, you know, these leftovers will taste amazing for lunch, then I'll feel satisfied and then I'll stop eating. So two very different experiences. And actually last night, my thoughts processes ended up being more on the, I want more, this is so good. So I ended up overeating a bit last night, which is fine. You know, that doesn't happen very often for me, but I can see now that I could have easily been more on top of my self-talk there. So more examples, you know, circumstance could be drinking wine at lunchtime. And this is one that I use a lot is, you know, when I could either be thinking, you know, another glass won't hurt or I want more, or I could think it's better when I stick to one glass. And then I'd start thinking about the reasons why it's better. Like I'll feel better this afternoon if I want to do some work, you know, whatever it is. And so, yeah, it's that self-talk in the moment, which is huge for me with wine in being able to just get to this place where I can take it or leave it because I know how to manage my mind around it as now. Another example could be like from my snacking when I was cooking, like picking at things, and a few conscious thoughts that I have that have really helped me with that is if I think, you know, it's better when I wait and I start thinking about how much more I'll enjoy my dinner if I, you know, don't snack like crazy now, or even just, you know, that I can wait. That's another one that really helps me, or, you know, I'll enjoy dinner better. You know, those types of thoughts help me, you know, stop snacking. Another thought I think that a lot of people come up with that isn't very helpful is, you know, I deserve to treat myself. I deserve these cookies. I deserve this brownie. I deserve this bottle of wine. And yet that it may be like, the thing is that you always deserve all these amazing things, but is that really helpful for you to be thinking that if you don't really need or want to be eating the cookies or the brownie or having the bottle of wine? So if you catch yourself thinking that thought, you know, I deserve this treat, you just add a pause and then go, okay, well, what could I be thinking instead? You know, it could be, it's better when I wait till later. It could be, you know, I'll feel better if I save the cookie, brownie or wine for, you know, tomorrow or whatever it is. But yeah, catching that self-talk is what you need to do if you want to not be just always in that mode of just eating whatever and drinking whatever. And then my final example here came from one of my clients, Christiane, who's in my group coaching program. And she was, so one of the things I get people to do is to plan food ahead. And she's been struggling with that. And I was talking to her and I was like, what are you thinking about planning? And she's like, oh, I don't really want to plan. I'm not a planner. And so we did some work together and she came up with the thought, planning is preparing myself to succeed, which, you know, she has found really motivating. So when she starts to go, oh, I don't want to do my plan, she reminds herself, no, planning's preparing myself to succeed. Like that really helps her. And then she's able to take the action of planning rather than skipping it. So there's a heap of examples for you. And I'll share some resources in the show notes. And I'll just share a link to my business coach, Stacey Bayman. And just she's where I learned this from. So just to give her credit for all this stuff, I didn't invent it. And she actually learned it from a lady called Brooke Castillo, who has a podcast, excellent podcast called the Life Coach School podcast as well. So I'll link to that too. And the key takeaway I want you to take from today is just really to start paying attention to your self-talk, especially when it comes to food and wine, you know, and especially when, you know, when you're finding yourself eating and drinking, you know, what are the thoughts that are coming up for you? What is your self-talk telling you? And, you know, is there one example that I've shared today that you could experiment with using for yourself? So, you know, next time you've had a bad day, could you start thinking different thoughts? Or, you know, next time you're thinking about having a second or third glass of wine, you know, could you use those thoughts? And yeah, so just experiment with it this week. Or, you know, can you think of a situation where changing your self-talk might be helpful for you? And could you think it through in advance of, okay, I normally say this and this is normally the result, but if you want to change that behavior, what could you tell yourself instead? Like, what could your thoughts be instead? And how could you redirect your mind? So have fun with it. It's a really, really powerful thing. And I use it for everything from parenting to exercise, to even like having cold showers. So it's really, really powerful. I hope you enjoy and I'll catch you next week. Before you go, this is the best part. So if you enjoyed Joyful Eating, subscribe to the podcast, and I'd love to send you a copy of my free cookbook called 6 Ingredients 20 Minutes, Simple Whole Foods for Joyful Weeknight Dinners. It's full of easy recipes so delicious they'll satisfy even the biggest food snob. Just Google Stone Soup and you'll find it.